Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Bigfoot and Company. This is Dr. John Stamey and I've got my buddy Matt Delf with me. I hope everyone's having a wonderful, wonderful week as we think about hanging out with Bigfoot or Sasquatch or the Force people, whatever you prefer to call them. We got some great stories today, a lot of interesting things. I'm going to go ahead and start before I, as usual, introduce Matt. This past weekend, I was at the Space Expo. That is the Spruce Pine Alien Conference and Exhibition. And it was just a blast. The folks were so nice to me. I premiered my new book, Look, Up in the Sky. Now, if you remember properly, that comes from the introduction to the old television series, Superman, Look, Up in the Sky. And what a better name can you find for a UFO book. It's about aliens, UFOs, and anomalies. But anyway, I was a guest speaker. I actually closed the show at 4 o'clock, and I was very grateful to Jimmy Henshaw and Robert Storch who put this thing on, and it was just wonderful up there in the mountains of North Carolina near Spruce Pine. Or actually, we were in Spruce Pine on Locust Street, and it was really wonderful. I got to thank them for putting on a great show. They had almost 3,500 people there. And we had Mike Barra from television, from Ancient Aliens, and he was great. Just enjoyed getting to meet him and be on a panel with him, and I even got to be a table buddy when we were selling our books. So it was a lot of fun. He's a great guy. So three cheers to Mike Barra, and it was great. We have a mutual friend, and Matt, I'm sorry, I got to tell this story. This is the best story, and I'm gonna make sure to do it when it really matters. He and I have a mutual friend, Brooks Agnew. Okay, Brooks is the head of the Hollow Earth movement, and we all like Brooks. He's just like one of the coolest people. He's from in and around Charlotte, North Carolina. And so I was talking with Mike. I said, you know, your buddy Brooks Agnew sends you three cheers for being here, and sorry he can't make it. He said, oh, I got a story to tell you. I was a table buddy with him. We were selling books. It was out in L.A. And he said, Mike, you know what I found out? And Mike said, what's that? And Brooks said, if you come up with one great idea, you're a genius. But if you come up with a second great, great idea, you're a crackpot. You like that, Matt?
I do.
I mean, look, I'm on number four, so we all know where I stand. But anyway, it was great. It was wonderful being up there. And again, a special thanks to Jimmy Henshaw, who is a resident of Spruce Pine, North Carolina. And he's actually going to be taking over some co-hosting duties with me in the new podcast, sprucepine.org. Everybody needs to check that out. It's a wonderful tribute to a city where my family used to run a business. And it's a great town. The folks were so nice. Had a lot of folks from Asheville and Black Mountain and some from even the natives of Gatlinburg. They came on over the mountain. So it was a lot of fun being there. I got my new book out. It will be on Amazon here in about a week. Just got a little bit of work to do on that. It takes a little time to get this done. So anyway, Matt, now how are you doing today, sir?
I am doing good. I'm doing good. You're talking about the that area, that pine. Give us a little bit of a background about that area, because I'm not real familiar with it myself.
Okay, well, you need to be, because there's a lot of forest up there. And I've got to be honest with you. I talked a lot about UFOs. I talked about 40% about UFOs and about 60% about Bigfoot. And everybody wanted to hear about Bigfoot up there. I'm telling you that. And I think we might be having a Bigfoot section to that conference next year. And I'm going to help. I believe I'm going to help them put the speakers together. So we'll get you up there. Spruce Pine, here's how it works. You get to Marion, North Carolina, which is the county seat of McDowell County. And what you do is you take Highway 226A straight up the mountain. About 19 miles is what the thing says. But it is straight up a mountain, and then you get to one of the most beautiful spots in the world. which is Little Switzerland, North Carolina. Been up there many times, and I actually got to stay there at Big Lynn Gap at the Big Lynn Lodge. The folks, those folks were great. So anyway, you go up to Little Switzerland, and then you slide down the mountain about 10 miles, and there you are in Spruce Pine. It's a beautiful mountain town. It's doing very well, and things are getting better for Spruce Pine. It had some rough times, as a lot of the mountain towns did in the 60s and 70s and 80s, but it's really recovering, and Jimmy Henshaw is working hard to support that town with some events, and it's beautiful. It's right there in the middle of the forest, Matt. You would love it. You and I need to go up there. We'll stay in Little Switzerland because it's a neat place. Then we'll just slide down the mountain, and we can go out in the woods and hunt for Bigfoot. But it is absolutely beautiful. It is in Mitchell County, which is also the location of the tallest peak on the East Coast, Mount Mitchell. So there's a lot of history there, a lot of paranormal things, a lot of tales, and it's just a magnificent place and tons of forest. And you know what you find in tons of forest, don't you, Matt?
Mosquitoes.
Well, we did find some mosquitoes, but that's a great place to go looking for Bigfoot. So it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place, and you and I probably need to schedule a trip up there. Maybe bring some of our friends, and we'll go out in the forest, and it'll be a lot of fun. So just everybody remember Spruce Pine, North Carolina, great town, and that was the location of my grandfather's pool hall and barbecue joint. They all remember the barbecue. They don't remember much about the pool, but they do remember about the barbecue, and I hear it was legendary. So that's great, and a nice town. The folks were so inviting, and I can't wait to go back next year for the Space Expo. It's going to be great, and all that. So that's pretty much how my weekend was. It was wonderful.
Now, they had a lot of UFO sightings right there in that area.
Yeah, what happened is Jimmy did a survey of MUFON and found that Mitchell County has the largest number of UFO sightings in the last 2 years of any county in North Carolina. Now, I didn't see one, but I did see, I hate to say it, Matt, but I saw a bunch of chemtrails. It was just, it was terrible. I didn't want to point them out to everybody, but there were 8 or 9 chemtrails up there, and they're getting serious about them, I guess. But it was good. But yeah, there are a lot of UFO sightings. We didn't have anything organized to talk about Bigfoot up there. However, they did have a cryptid panel. There were some talk a little bit about Bigfoot, but nothing much about the sightings up there. But you know, in those beautiful mountains, you know, Bigfoot's not opposed to a beautiful mountain area with trees and everything. So I think we probably had a lot of Bigfoot up there. I really do.
North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina is definitely, it's a hot spot for a lot of Bigfoot activity, especially through the years. And if you're talking about UFO activity, and for example, like back in 76, whenever small town in Pennsylvania, there was some UFO sightings, and then, of course, through that year, they had, like, it was kind of crazy because they went hand in hand. And Angelina Shear, she talks about it quite a bit. There was, like, 276 Bigfoot reports along with the UFO reports for that 1 year in that area in Pennsylvania. So if there's UFOs, usually the big guy ain't too far behind.
So 1976, huh? Well, that's when my UFO sighting happened with my parents on Interstate 40 near Morganton. I looked up. They had come to Winston-Salem to bring me back from college. And we looked up, and there was an electric green cigar-shaped UFO. And I made sure my parents saw it. We got home, and I asked my dad. I said, "Well, Dad, what did you think about that?" And he said, "Son, we're not going to discuss that ever." That was the end of that conversation. So, I believe that he had seen something during World War II when he was stationed over in India near the Burma Road. I think he had seen something. He just really didn't want to go go into it and everything. But yeah, I had my sighting in 76, so that's interesting. Yeah, there were a lot of them, and you're right. Many, many times, Bigfoot seemed to be no more than a few feet behind the UFOs, and we don't know why, but they are there. Matt, here's an operative question for you, if you don't mind me asking. Have you ever seen a UFO? Now, not necessarily associated with a Bigfoot sighting, but have you ever seen a UFO?
I've not seen anything that I would classify as a UFO. I've seen, you know, strange lights up in the sky. I've never had anything real close. I've seen stuff. It could be satellites. It could be anything. That's where I get into. That's why I don't get a whole lot into the UFO stuff, because I don't know what is military and what isn't. What's the U.S. government? What isn't? Of course, UFOs unidentified, so it could be either one. That could, anything could fall in that category. It's such a wide variety that, you know, I'll never know. So I guess that's the reason why I try not to even get into it. But I do like the association with the UFO sighting and Bigfoot. Does that make
sense?
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we have a lot of those that have happened. And, you know, Angelia is kind of our local expert, even though she's in Nashville, Tennessee. She's certainly our expert and our friend, and she knows a lot about those. So it's kind of neat talking with her about them, you know, whenever she gets to talk with us. I mean, we were fortunate to have her at the Tennessee Bigfoot Conference last year in 2018, and then this year she was at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. That was in Clayton, Georgia, and she's scheduled to be back at the Georgia Bigfoot Festival and Holistic Festival. That will be the 18th through the 20th of October in Clayton, Georgia, at the Raven County Civic Center. It's just going to be a blast. And you'll be there, and the She-Squatchers will be there, and just all kinds of people. And I don't know if you heard, but our buddy Mark Johnston from Canada is scheduled to be down there as well now.
Yeah, Mark, I talked to him quite a bit. He was telling me he was going to definitely try and get down there for that. I was talking to him this morning.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
He said that he had a family excursion down to Florida, and they were going to try to do it so that it could be in conjunction with the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. So I just think that's going to be great, and we'll have him here on the show sooner than later. So everybody, just remember, the Georgia Bigfoot Conference is coming up. The Western North Carolina Bigfoot Conference is coming up. Now, Matt, are you going to be there? I will.
Well, you know, if you'll be there, I'll be there.
Well, good. And I think we're both. Now, that is the second. I think that is approximately the 14th of September. That's the second weekend, full weekend in September. And then the other event that we're both going to be at is Bigfoot and Barbecue. Can you tell us? I've got a booth there. I did a booth swap with them and the Georgia Bigfoot and Tennessee Bigfoot. I hope they'll be able to come to Tennessee Bigfoot. But do you know that's in a little small town just north of the Alabama line, correct?
Yeah, it's right there in Georgia line. Actually, it's Reliance, Tennessee. I went there last year. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. They had all kinds of vendors, had different talks. You had different people, you know, a lot of Bigfoot. It's just a good time. They had a lot of great speakers. And I'm not sure yet, but not sure what the lineup is. I know I'll be there. What my part will be is still kind of going through the talks right now, but I will definitely be there. That's for sure. That's guaranteed. Lord willing,
well,
I will be there.
Well, now here's my big question: how was the barbecue?
Barbecue was really good. I was kind of shocked they even had beer vendors there. So they had football games. I mean, if you say if your wife or somebody's into Bigfoot and you're not really into Bigfoot and she wants to go and listen, or the opposite, then you can sit and drink your beer and watch a football game. They had big screens TVs there. You can sit there and watch the football games because, of course, it's football time right there, especially around Georgia and stuff. You know, they get into their football and Tennessee.
Heck yeah.
And, I mean, you can sit there and drink your beer, eat you a barbecue sandwich, and you can watch a game. They had TVs there. Now, this year, I don't know what the vendors will be, if they'll have the exact same type of vendors, but last year, it was really good, really good. It's right
well,
there.
I'm,
there's a winery there.
Yeah, oh, wow, that's great. That's perfect for me. Well, I'm looking forward to the barbecue is all I got to say. I mean, you know, it's just
yeah,
a blast.
I love my barbecue. Love my barbecue.
Yeah, me too. I was so happy when I was coming back. I was in Clayton, Georgia this past week. Well, after I finished in Spruce Pine, I went down to Clayton, Georgia to do a little bit of work on the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. And I got to come through Columbia, South Carolina, and I got to stop at my favorite Maurice's Barbecue with that great mustard sauce. It's so good. And it was just, that was the highlight of the weekend, probably. Not the Space Expo or working on Georgia Bigfoot, but the highlight was absolutely going through Irmo, South Carolina, and getting some Maurice's Barbecue. It was just great. So anyway, I'm glad you and I are on the same page there. Absolutely. So it'll be a lot of fun. Well, I've got something interesting for you, Matt. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Well, as you know, I talk to our friend Robin McCray quite often. And I said, Robin, I'd really like to have something interesting about Bigfoots and UFOs in my new book, Look Up in the Sky. She said, well, you also said it was about anomalies, which are, in case people don't know, anomalies have to do with just strange things that happen. So Robin told me, and she reminded me, actually, of the pyramids that had been discovered in Bosnia. Now, for those of you that don't remember, Bosnia is kind of northeast of Greece, in Europe, kind of Eurasia. And they hosted the Olympics in Sarajevo a number of years ago. That's the Sarajevo name is something everybody should remember. But there are pyramids that have been identified in the country of Bosnia. Now, of course, you can count on scientists who do not get paid to study these, who get paid from the National Science Foundation in the U.S. or the equivalent in Europe, they want to say, well, they're not real. Well, they've never studied them. They have no money to go study them. But there are a lot of local scientists who come there and claim that there's some strange things going on. And one of the strangest happened several years back. And it was in 2015. So, Matt, can I read you about a half a page from my book, Look Up in the Sky? It's about the Bosnian pyramids and Bigfoot. May I do that, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
I'm interested about this.
All right. Goes something like this. Recent information has confirmed that an extraterrestrial to Bigfoot connection was an incident that occurred in 2015 related to the Bosnian pyramids. A beam of energy was detected emanating from the famous pyramids. A recording of this beam was actually played to Bigfoot and the Sasquatch in the United States by a noted mindspeak practitioner. Well, actually, several noted mindspeak practitioners. The response from the local Bigfoot community was one of joy and excitement. With the discovery that Bigfoot mitochondrial DNA is human, the truth would soon reach to all people. The message was one of peace and encouragement for everyone to work together. So to quote the mindspeak expert that described all this, the forest people communicated they were excited to hear the message, described as a joyous event for their people.
The message marked the beginning of the truth for all people. It was first relayed before the findings of the Bigfoot DNA studies in Texas. The DNA study was already underway, and they then had the results, and here came the message. We all look forward to better communications with Bigfoot or Sasquatch or forest people. And I think it was very interesting that this message was recorded from the Bosnian pyramids as it was emanating. And there are several copies around, and I'm definitely looking forward to getting a copy, and I'd like to play it for us. So that might be in a couple of weeks, but we'll see what happens. But yes, the Bosnian pyramids, they absolutely broadcast a message for all of the Bigfoot community that said, it looks like everyone's going to finally realize that you are part of our world and that we want to be part of your world. How's that?
Now, okay, how was it recorded? Do you know?
I am not sure, but I'm going to get a copy of it, and then I'll be able to speak with the people who recorded it, because I have been guaranteed access to that. So that'll be a whole report on Bigfoot and Company, I'd say in about a month. How's that?
You're great. So
yep, we'll break that news story wide open probably about the middle of July.
Now, say you talk about the mind speak and stuff like that. Now, me, you know me, I don't give a shit what anybody thinks. I tell this is how it is, this is what's happened, and, you know, I have no reason to lie, and I don't care if anybody believes me or not. But as I've done this for years, and my level of research has started out flesh and blood, and it has gone up, and now it got to that point to where it was a stopping point. And the Bigfoot community, as I like to call them, they're at odds with each other all the time over the woo side and the flesh and blood. And me, I've gotten to my level to the point where, hey, you know, some of these things can't be explained. Flesh and blood, there's more to it than that. And I can, you know, you get to that level and you start talking about these pyramids and the ley lines, and there's more to the Bigfoot phenomenon than just flesh and blood. And I'm going to tell you right here, right now, I don't care if anybody believes me or not, but I've gotten to the point, you know, when you're tracking something and all of a sudden it just stops, the track stops midair, you know, we got to start looking for answers. And you have to level up. Now, aren't these, I wonder if there's any ley lines, like around the Earth's grid, the ley lines, you know, for the, around the Bosnia area for these pyramids.
Well, that's something that you and I could explore a little bit. I haven't had a chance to check. I'll be honest with you. It's kind of busy here in Myrtle Beach, and you know, working on books and going to conferences and working out there on the boardwalk with Cody doing caricatures. But I think that would be a good and interesting topic to explore. Now, one thing that speaking of ley lines, I did explore the idea of could there possibly be ley lines in and around Spruce Pine that actually go through the Mount Shasta volcano area. And I found out that Spruce Pine is 5 degrees farther south than Mount Shasta, so probably not. But we do need to take a look at the Bosnian pyramids. There have been a number of scientists that absolutely discredit them, but then they discredited Galileo when he said that the Earth revolved around the sun, so we know what scientists can do. So it takes some of us who are not necessarily practicing National Science Foundation scientists to go in there and see what's going on. So we can figure that out. In fact, if you'll talk for just a second, I'll check out the latitude of Bosnia and just see how close it is to the latitude of either Mount Shasta or of spruce pine. So what do you think about that, Matt?
Yeah, that'd be great. That I had posted, not sure if you've seen it, on Mountain Empire Cryptid Research Organization, the page. It had been circulating around where the Great Pyramids, the actual coordinates were matching speed of light. And I looked it up, and the actual coordinates was, it's not right in the center, but it's one area of the pyramids has that same number. So I think that was more coincidence that they, you know, that they had posted that. But these pyramids and stuff with these ley lines, there's something to do with these. I mean, you know, people, just general public, everyday thing, these people don't think about stuff like this, and they got that one track in mind. They sit inside this little box. They get up and they do their daily functions. They never experiment. But there's more to this world than what our mind can comprehend. You've got so much different stuff. And with the energy, you know, you start getting into quantum physics. Everything is energy. And these ley lines and the pyramids are markers where some of these ley lines intersect. And a little story here. We had went to Georgia, and we had went, a lot of people think these portals and stuff like that are all nonsense, but I've never come across it, so I can't say if it's real or not, but I've experienced some weird stuff, like these falls right at the Tennessee-Georgia line. We're talking probably a good hour and a half, 2 hours away from the time zone. Drive-wise, nowhere near the time zone to change the time over. Been driving down there to go to these falls and coming back from an expedition up there in Georgia. And the cell phone, I had my mom with me, and she likes to go to a lot of conferences, stuff like that, with me too. And our cell phones, because we just going to drive up to these waterfalls, well, our cell phones look down, and she's like, well, it's only such and such time. I'm like, no, it's not. I look down, and her phone in this area had went back an hour. It's like we went back in time an hour. And my phone was fine, but hers was that way. And then just a few minutes later, my phone goes back to that, goes back an hour. And hers jumps up an hour. There was something going on with that energy in that area that had messed with our phones, had messed with, you know, all our technology pretty much. This energy stuff, it's the key, I think, to all this, and everything loops together, and it's all with this energy. There's a bigger picture that people aren't looking at. We've got, and these different animals, you know, they got different types of abilities that nobody even thinks about. And I believe Bigfoot uses the same abilities. But everything, it's all around this energy and the whole mind speak and the like remote viewing. You know, when our government uses remote viewing, they train people to use it. There's definitely something to it. And a lot of people think, oh, you're crazy or this or that. That's what they want you to think. That's where they try and put everybody that does this stuff. But you're at a different level when you start using stuff like this. And it's like
yeah.
My research.
Well, now, here's what I'd like to report. Thanks for letting me take a look. It seems like the latitude of Mount Shasta, of Spruce Pine, and Bosnia, where those pyramids are all within a degree and a half of each other, which is around the 43rd degree. Okay, it's plus or minus 1.5, which is pretty darn close. So, you know, there seems to be a correlation of the location of the Bosnian pyramids, of Spruce Pine, North Carolina, which has the most UFO sightings in the state currently, and in Mount Shasta, which is legendary for its Bigfoot activity. So, yeah, they're all pretty closely aligned around that 43rd degree mark, which kind of neat. I had never thought about that, but yep, it looks like there's some semblance of agreement there that that something must be happening around the 43rd degree mark.
Hmm. That's pretty interesting.
Yep.
So we'll have to look up some other areas similar to that, and I guarantee it, you're probably going to find some Bigfoot activity.
Yeah, you can. I think you can. And I think if we check out the 43rd degree mark in Colorado, we'd probably find a couple of Michigan towns there that have a lot of similar activity. So anyway, yeah, there's a little bit of correlation, and it's not around the 53rd or not around the 33rd. It's around the 43rd degree mark. So anyway, we'll have to check that out and see what else we can find. But that I think is an interesting find. I'd never thought about it, and that's what we like to do here on the show. If we have an idea, we'll go check it out while everyone's listening, and we'll see what we can deliver. But yep, there's a very close relationship between those three locations. And I guess we'll start putting Spruce Pine as one of them because it's the alien capital of North Carolina, and I know that actually make a lot of people happy there. I think it's good for them. You know, Matt, it is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, there's a bigger picture to all this, and it's like people with talking about Bigfoot and trail cameras, and, you know, I personally believe it's like a bear. They smell the alkaline in the batteries, so they avoid it. A bear, it attracts. The alkaline in the battery attract the bear, so they go and attack your trail camera. The whole, you know, Bigfoot and people thinking that, oh, well, they're just flesh and blood and they get mad at all these other people. They're just as bad as the way I see it as a skeptic, somebody that doesn't even believe in Bigfoot. If you believe only Bigfoot's just flesh and blood only with no capabilities of doing anything, when you can prove with science that other animals have capabilities, you know, that's a great, great area. You know, these people, they get mad and they're like, oh, we won't discuss that because it's got talking about mind speak. Well, these people are hearing something. They're getting that sixth sense. You yourself, you said
are, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't discredit all this info that's coming in, you know. I know that I've got, you know, what they call the sixth sense, whatever. I'll have a dream, and there'll be a warning about something that's coming up. And I don't ever remember my dreams, but when I do, it's usually something that's warning me. Same way as my daughter. I don't know if we're just higher energy or what, but we got that feeling. It's like we're being forewarned, or we're seeing something is coming to us, you know, and it's telling us, hey, you know, something's going on. I think same way, you know, a lot of Bigfoot encounters, people get that odd feeling there's something around, something watching them. They get an eerie feeling, and I think it's that energy off of Bigfoot coming at them, you know. It is very strong. They're high-energy beings. That's why people talk about their self-illuminating eye shine. It's because the energy inside them is so great, you know. I know that I'm not sure what you would call mind speak. What do you think mind speak is, actually? Do you think it's...
I think it's the ability to perceive communication through non-standard channels. It's the ability to hear something that there's no line directly to you or whatever. I think that's what it is. And I think, Jen Cruz explained it, you know, the whole thing very well. She said, we stand around and there are 200 billion bits of information around us at all times, and we can only understand or hear or feel about 2 million of them, but there are 200 billion. Well, you know, the folks that can hear mind speak can obviously just understand more communication than we can. It's a technology issue. It's not a, you know, can you do this or can you not? It's more of a technology issue. Are we, you know, is our technology such that we can hear it? Well, maybe. technology being in our heads right now. And that is a standard definition anymore. Technology is not only objects and inventions, but it's also things that you can do with your mind. So it's just something that some folks can hear and others can't. It's very simple, straightforward, I think. I got aroused out of the Space Expo, I'll tell you that.
So do you believe that we have the, everyone has the ability, or just certain people that can train it?
I think everyone does have the ability, but not everybody cares to develop it because it is a pain, and I've been working on it for a long time, and occasionally I get the good vibe, I'll call it, but a lot of times I don't. But I'm going to keep trying. I mean, you can't blame a guy for trying, can you?
No, you can't.
So that's what I intend to do, and it's very interesting. And talking to folks who can do it, they tell you things that make a lot of sense, but you've never heard. So it's like they're telling you a story that they've been told from someone, and that's what I believe mind speak is.
That's true. It's like I've experienced where I went out on an expedition, and as I was going out, nobody knew at the time that I was going out on a Bigfoot expedition. This was during the Georgia Bigfoot Conference that night. You know, everybody had plans to go and go up to that little town with the dome houses, and I didn't tell you till later that evening that I was going to go out on an expedition, but when I was leaving, gentleman had stopped me and told me, he said, they know you're coming. And I was like, okay, who knows I'm coming? What are you talking about? And he's like, the Bigfoot. He said, they told me to tell you, they know you're coming. And
now,
they would show a sign.
Who said that to you?
It was Pat, Robin's husband.
Okay.
Of course. And, you know, I hadn't talked to him. It was a busy day that day at the conference and stuff like that. And I didn't really have a chance to sit down and have a conversation with them yet, and it was pretty interesting because, I mean, hardly nobody knew that I was going out, and he had stopped me, and he told me that they know I was coming, and, you're coming, and
yeah.
I was like, okay, and I was like, what are you talking about, and he said, the Bigfoot, they know you're coming. I was like, oh, okay, and sure enough, that night we had activity and had a rock tossed at us, And he said that it was they're going to let me know. They're going to give me a sign that they're around. And sure enough, that night, up in the middle of nowhere, nobody knew where I was going, anything to do with it, 2 o'clock in the morning, something chucks a rock out in the middle of nowhere up in this mountain, and it was kind of neat because it was kind of like it was like, hey, I'm here, and then it took off. You could hear something going up into the woods afterwards, after it tossed. And that next day, of course, I found the 17-inch tracks, but I don't believe that was the one that tossed the rock. I believe it was a younger juvenile one that tossed the rock. And the next day, we found up in that area where that rock got chucked down to us during the day where we could see, found the 17-inch tracks that were pretty impressive because I would step on the area and the ground would spring right back up. There were pine needles and everything, and it would spring right back up. But where these 17-inch tracks were, they were probably about an inch and a half deep. It wasn't springing back up. It had smashed it down my foot. It swallowed my foot. But nobody else knew that I was going out but me and I think there was 3 other people that knew and that I was going out with. It was like a spur of the moment thing. I said, hey, let's, go out tonight. And, of course, like I said, I know those 3 other people. They weren't even, well, one of them was a vendor at the conference, but they weren't talking about it to anybody. They was keeping it quiet. So for him to know that, that goes to show you there was something there that, would, he he was hearing something for him to know that. Something had told him.
Absolutely, he was. And so, I mean, you know, what can you say? This mind speak thing, it just tends to be corroborated more and more. And people need to take and be mindful of it because it can help. It really can. So, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that. You had not shared that with me. And like when I'm trying to do some locations or, find some locations for Bigfoot and everything, I seem to get along with it. I'm seeming to be drawn to certain areas. I mean, I think that's great. So thanks for sharing that story. Do you have like maybe another good story you can share with us? Because this is Matt and Dr. John Speak Out Day.
I'm kind of curious now that you were talking about where the Bigfoot. I need to check my research area and see where it is up here around High Knob up in Virginia, up there in Norton. The whole area of Norton, there'd been several encounters up there and a lot of bear up there too, though, so it could be some misidentification. But the area High Knob, where I do a lot of research here local, the whole story goes, High Knob, they call it Swag Rock, was this settler they were cutting through, and he put this big American flag on this rock up there. And it's
okay.
A Bigfoot sanctuary now. But he had put that flag up there. I'm not sure of the year or anything like that on it, but it was, first settlers coming through, and he put that big flag on that rock. Well, he heard some rustling up in the brush up above him. And so he looks up, and there's a Bigfoot watching him. And ever since then, there's been all kinds of Bigfoot reports coming from that area. And I go up in there, and I can tell you it's definitely a high-energy area. Jen Cruz has been on to me about going back because we caught something on thermal up there, and she's wanting me to go back and get pictures so we can compare what we caught on thermal compared to, for size comparison and stuff with it not being there. But it's a good drive. I got to have a good extra 5 hours in my day to actually go up there to do that. I haven't been able to get that yet. You know how time is with us. But that area is, I'm curious to see if that with the 43 mark, to see where it sits with that 43 mark.
Not everything's perfect, but if it's within a degree or two either way, that seems like that's very reasonable to call it a direct hit. It's just not everything's perfect, but if you're very, very close, we'll go ahead and call it that.
I've had something up there before that I can get a bad feeling, and when I'm pretty fearless, and I can get some bad feelings up in that area. Been out one night up there researching, and something was circling us, screaming in the middle of the night, couldn't see it. We've had making barred owl calls, and everybody knows Bigfoot can mimic. Like to mimic animals, and I've even heard reports where they're calling people's names. But we're doing barred owl calls, calling barred owls in up in that area, and had a barred owl that it sounded a little bit different than the rest of them, but then it was followed by some knock sounds. And since we didn't, that one particular one was staying away from us, and you could tell it wasn't like the rest, And I believe it was, my personal belief, it was a Bigfoot. It was a mimicking, wanting to see what we were doing, what we were about. And it got away, it went farther away when all the other owls had come into the call. And that one got farther away, and it was accompanied with knocks and amongst other stuff. At one time, we thought something was throwing rocks at us.
Yeah.
But that area is really, really got me curious now to, I need to check and see, you know, where it lands on that mark.
Absolutely, or at least find out what, somewhere around 43, somewhere between 42 and 44. So, you know, just find out what that rock, I mean, you can normally just go there with Google and say, what is my latitude, and it will tell you. Or, you know, there are a variety of tricks you can do. So just find one and go use it and report back to us here on the show. How about that?
That'll be great.
Absolutely,
that
I think it will. And yeah, I mean, it's fun when we get to report and talk a little bit about the things that we do and how they really matter. I've had a lot of folks actually contact me since the Space Expo about their Bigfoot stories. I've got another 15, which is great. Have you heard any good Bigfoot stories recently you'd like to share with us? I'll bet you got at least one. How about that?
Well, this one Bigfoot story that this gentleman this year, it's up in West Virginia, and I'm going to try and make it out there to visit and check on the area. And we talked about it a little bit there with Janice last episode. This gentleman had contacted me, and David Becerra had referred him to me, and I thank David for that. But he, in January, about 4:30 to 5 o'clock in the morning, he leaves out for work, and he lives next to a wildlife conservation area. Imagine that.
Wow.
And, yeah. In January, he was leaving for work, and he seen something in his headlights as he is heading out his road, and he looked, and he thought it was a bear. And then he said this thing stood up on two legs, and it darted up the side of this road. He was confused. He's like, what in the world was that? Well, another morning in January, around the same area he was leaving, and he seen it this time again, and he said he got a better look at it this time. He said it's probably about 7 foot, covered in hair, and he said it took off super fast, and he said he was just amazed at how fast this thing was on two legs as it went up the mountain, up the side of the mountain there, and he said it was like a flash, and he said it went so super fast. And he drove up, and he rolled his window down, and he was listening. And this thing, he said it sounded like a big bull or something running through the woods. You could hear it popping, cracking, busting tree limbs as it went. Anything that was in its way, it just basically just
that was it. That was it. If it was in his way, that was it, right?
Yep. And he had just boom right through it. And then, now, he's getting kind of concerned because the two sightings happened in January. Now, the past few weeks, he's been hearing screams, and it's been in the middle of the night and early in the morning, and it's getting closer to his farm. So, he's getting more concerned, and I need to go up there and see what we're dealing with, because I told him, you know, he's got to watch his kids. As we all know, there's been lots of reports of Bigfoot and kids being kidnapped and stuff, and he's got daughters, and he said they stay around the house, but I think it's drawing in the Bigfoot. Something is bringing him closer to the house. And I'm going to try and find a day to go up there and, you know, just do an investigation of the area and see what I can find. But that was the most recent one. Actually, that was just like here this past weekend. I talked to him even more. And I'm trying to get him to report, you know, get a recording of these sounds. Another thing I've noticed there's something else. It's not Bigfoot, but have you ever heard of the rake?
I believe I have. Could you describe that a little bit?
Well, I guess back in the around 2003 or 2006, somewhere around that area, upper state New York, had a lot of reports of this sinister creature being around these people's houses, but the government and everything keeps taking it down. I tried to Google an image of the rake to see what this being was. It kind of, I know this is off the topic, but since we're talking cryptids and stuff, it caught my attention because somebody had mentioned it, and I had to try to look it up, but there was no info on it. And the image on Google at the time was taken down for some reason.
Well, could you briefly, I want to stop you. Can you briefly describe this cryptid or this creature?
Yeah, there was, like I said, I didn't know anything about it, and so I started looking into it, and I had found some reports on certain people's website pages, stuff like that. And there was this one report, it was in New York, that this woman, she had woke up in the middle of the night, and she looked over and her husband was frozen in fear, and about a foot away from him, right there close to him by the edge of the bed, was this, she kind of, it was like a human being on two legs, standing there, and it's kind of like she said, reported like a hairless dog or a disfigured person, like it had been hit by something or whatever. And she, her husband was in fear staring at this thing, and she had looked at it, and she was more confused than anything, trying to figure out what it is. And then her husband, just frozen in fear, he'd look at her and he'd look at the this thing at the next to his bed there, and it had left, walked out of the room, and she had seen the first thing, she thought she had kids, and
yep.
She jumps up out of bed and sees the kids' lights on, and she said this thing was like a, kind of like an alien, but no hair on it, said it was a male, you could tell it had male genitalia. She had ran to the end of the hallway, and in her kid's room, this thing was covered in blood, and it took off running down the steps, and she went in, and her daughter was injured pretty bad, and her daughter had looked at her and said, "The rake," and that was the last words that her daughter had said, and her husband tried to take the child to the hospital, and supposedly
yep.
he was, you know, such a hurry, he ran off, his car, he wrecked on the way going, went into a lake or something, and they both died. But the last word was the rake. And I was reading other reports from way back in the 1800s, people talking about fake suicide notes. They had reported this being with a cold touch, dark, seeing its eyes, they go to sleep at night and they can't sleep because this thing has tormented them, and I'm not sure what it is. You know, I've been, like I said, a lot of info has been, there's not a lot of info out there at all on it, and it's kind of really got my attention, because usually.
Absolutely it would, yeah.
First sign is when they start taking stuff down and won't report stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen some videos on YouTube, but the videos are pretty questionable, you know. That's why I believe they allow that stuff to stay, you know. That helps discredit the cryptid. You know, if they put somebody putting a hoax or something, CGI, something that they put on YouTube, then, you know, it helps discredit it so that, to make a mockery of it, so people will still stay in that one focus of, that's just a bunch of baloney people, you know. But the real stuff, anything good or any real true reports, of course, they won't put up there. But that was my first, that was last week I started looking into it, trying to find out all I could, and I still haven't been able to find hardly anything on it. But every report has been pretty bad.
Well, here's what I'll start doing some research on it and see what I can find out. Okay.
There you go.
I've got a lot of folks that I can tell you. Between you and I think we know about everybody, and I've got some folks who
I
can start asking about. Yeah, and we can just start seeing what we can about the rake. I have heard of it, but I didn't really know much about it. It's a very chilling story, and we'll just stay tuned, everybody here at Bigfoot and Company. We'll talk more about the rake. So anyway, Matt, I wanted to say thank you very much for being with us today on Bigfoot and Company. We'll be back. Our summertime time for the – that's a terrible phrase to say, but our summertime time for the show is 3 p.m. And we'll be back to 4 p.m. after Labor Day. And we'll be back our usual day, which is next week on Monday afternoon, 3 p.m. And look forward to having everybody with us. Matt, it's been great hearing about this. I've got a couple things I'm going to check on, but some of those latitudes, the ley lines, and also the rake. I'll see what I can come up with, and we'll catch you next time. How's that?
Sounds great.
All right. Well, look, thanks a lot. Really appreciate having you on Bigfoot and Company with us. This is my co-host, and we were co-guests today, right?
We were. I've got an expedition this weekend. I'll be on undisclosed location and stuff. So,
southeast of the U.S.
Yep, in the southeast area, in a hot spot. So maybe I can get something good. Like I said, undisclosed location, undisclosed area. Can't talk about it, but hopefully it'll be a good weekend, and hopefully I'll return.
We're good. Well, yeah, well, I hope you will, too. Will you be going by yourself or with people?
No, we are going. There's a group that I was personally invited to go join, and they are very experienced. They're actually more years than I have in this field, so I was kind of honored to be, invited. They're real picky who they bring along. And like I said, it's undisclosed. I can't talk about, the area, anything. And they take it pretty seriously.
But as long as there are people with you, buddy, you'll be a lot safer than you would without extra people, right?
That's true. Very true.
Well, report back to us next Monday, whatever you can. How's that?
Sounds great.
All right. Well, look, thanks a lot, everybody. It's been a pleasure being back here on Bigfoot and Company for this week. And we'll see you next Monday, 3 p.m. John Stamey and Matt Delph, and we'll have a guest, and we're going to have a blast. So, Matt, you take care.
Thank you. You too.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.